Thanks, everybody.
Hey, and that fits so well, because we're kind of in, we're on a week where, yeah, we're going to let our kids go off to their children's church, neighborhood kids downstairs, and their time together. But it fits so well with where we're going today. We're kind of in between series. In fact, going into next week, we're going to start a new series called Multiply. And the series around Multiply is really about exponential growth. It's exponential growth through, literally through minimal means. Because I think all of us would say, you know, we don't have a lot to give, but it's amazing if we could collect that many shoes and get $30,000, it just shows you the power of multiplication, the power of numbers. You don't have to give a lot. You don't have to be a part of giving a lot. You just have to give what you have when you have it. For the glory of the Lord, He will multiply it. He will multiply it. And that's the best part of what we do here as a church is we don't have to ask for thousands of dollars from you or tons of hours of serving or any of that. We just ask that God would allow you the freedom to be able to give when you can with what you have so that we can actually see growth in our church and continue to move forward. So today is kind of like this off week, and I don't even know where we're at. What time are we at? Because we lost our clock at the back. 11:20. All right. We're going to have to hustle. I purposely did not prepare a whole lot. Jake saw my notes a little bit, and he said, "You didn't prepare any notes?" I always over-prepare. But the format of this the next few minutes is going to be very different than what we've had in the past. So it's going to be very conversational. I pray it'll be conversational for all of us. And so here's what I want to invite you to do. This morning is kind of one of those free mornings. And as Becky said, "Hey, can I say something?" Yes, you can. This is that Sunday. This is that Sunday. If for some reason you have something you want to share, we're going to be good Quakers and let you share. And you're going to let it come out of your spirit and let you do that. But we're going to start the conversation a little bit with three things that I want to bring your way. Three things. Three things that you can't live without. Because I think we live in a world right now where you could get online in a moment and get all kinds of blogs, blog posts, podcasts. Everything is a self-help opportunity for you. In fact, just so you know, you're not looking at just a pastor up here. You're looking at somebody who repairs washing machines. Okay. Seriously, I've always been one of those that I was an artist, and I could design you a really, really, really beautiful house. I'm really creative. You just would not want to live in it. Right? Like, it's not going to be technically sound, engineered, whatever, but I think I could design you a pretty looking place because I'm an artist. I am not normally a washing machine repair guy until I ran into a crisis where I called the repair guy and he said, he came over and $72 later, he looks at me and he goes, "Well, it's going to be $72, but the best thing you could ever do is just replace your washer." Replace my washer, it looks perfectly fine. And he says, "Well, it's just getting old. What's wrong with it?" "Well, there's three error codes," and he wouldn't tell me what it was. So I said, "Okay, here's your $72. You should come to church. We'll love you there. I just don't love you now." But anyways, he left, and I thought to myself, I'm going to fix this thing. So I get on YouTube and I start putting in error codes on YouTube. I suddenly found out all kinds of information on error codes on a Whirlpool Duet front-loading washer. So I made a few phone calls. I called an appliance repair place and I asked them for the part number. They gave me their part number and I said, "How much is it going to cost if I come down and buy it from you?" And they says, "Oh, it's going to be about $150. You know what he said after that? "It's probably better you just replace the washer." I said, "It's $150 for a part, for a pump? That's all I need is a pump. I got to pump the water out of the washing machine. That's it. He goes, I know, it's going to be $150, but we got to use one in here for $190. And he said, and we'll actually remove that one. And I was like, so you guys can take the parts and fix that one and then sell it for $200, right? He just laughed on the phone. I said, okay, thanks for the part number. I got online, Amazon. Part number comes in, $29. And I thought, I am going to fix this, right? So I go on YouTube and I look up more videos and I am like so dialed in on this video. Like I get it. This part comes in 2 days later. It's huge. It's this whole thing. And I'm like, you are mine right now. And I put that thing in there, a couple of screws, hose clamps, plug it in, push the button. I got a new washing machine, people. I'm just telling you. So what's happening, here's what I want you to know. YouTube's making an expert out of everybody. Blog posts are making experts out of everybody. Everybody can learn whatever they want. There's so much information. In fact, here's some blog posts I pulled off the internet. Just so you know. Next one. 10 blog posts for your success. If you want to succeed, here we go. 10 things you need to know to succeed. I would read that, wouldn't you? Look at the next one. The one secret to achieving your dreams. Look at this one. How social media can make you rich. It's got you hooked, doesn't it? And you're just sitting there going, oh, that sounds good. Look at the next one. 5 trends you need to look and feel like a Kardashian. Right? Shake it if you got it. 3 reasons you didn't get the job. Now it's all of a sudden negative but positive. Like, we'll tell you why you didn't get the job. Look at this one. 10 questions to ask before lighting a match. That's good information, right? Here's another one. Is that it? No. 3 secrets to discovering other people's secrets. This is what's going on in our world. Information is actually everywhere, and you can be an expert at just about anything if you want to. And so we're full of self-help information everywhere we are, but here's the problem. All that information will not change you. It might change your circumstance in a moment, but it will not change you. What if there was a blog post that said 3 things that you literally cannot live without? Well, there is one. It's a short little blog, and it's called 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Very simple. So 3 things. I'm going to give you the 3 things, okay? Faith. How many of you know the next one? Oh, they're letting you cheat. Hold on a second. Trigger happy back there. Faith, hope, and what? Right. Love. You know what I thought about that? Years ago, there was a little passage in 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. I thought that was just a Hallmark card. I literally did. I thought that was just on coffee cups. I thought that was just some banner poetic statement that never really was anything but somebody's really nice words, right? Until later on in life, like literally in my 20s, I remember reading 1 Corinthians 13 and getting to that passage and go, oh, that's actually scripture. That actually is legitimately truth, right? Like, this is really important for us to know, and this is exactly what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, that there's 3 things, literally, that you cannot live without. So I've given them to you. I'm actually wanting to have us rank those 3 things. I mean, it tells us what the greatest one is, but out of those 3 things, which one would be hardest for you to achieve? Also, I want to talk about them, and I want to talk a little bit about why they're so important. Is Lillian in the room? My daughter Lillian is not here. She might have chickened out on me. We actually have a couple of wordsmiths. One of them is my daughter Lillian, who graduated with an English degree, creative writing, and she is just one of those, she like dials in on words. But we have another one, and he's right here, Corey. And I asked Corey yesterday, I said, hey, Corey, would you mind coming up and just sharing your thoughts on 3 things that are really amazing? Because here's what's crazy about those. How many of you can describe those? If I was to put you on the spot to come on stage and say faith, hope, and love, how easy would it be for you to describe those? Because you know what's interesting and so easy to describe is the antithesis of those things. What's the opposite? So if you don't have faith, what do you have?
Doubt.
If you don't have hope, you have what? Somebody said hopelessness. True. Faith, no faith. Hope, no hope. Love, no love. Right? But it's deeper than that. Faith, doubt. How many of you guys have doubts? How many of you could get up here right now and describe some of the doubts you have right now in your life? Like, you just went past an election, and now you're like, I have doubts. Right? You know what I mean? Like, everything brings us these doubts. How about hope? What's the opposite of hope? Despair. How many of you could explain despair? Opposite of love is what? And I'm going to talk about that in a minute, because I don't think it is hate. I think it's something other than that. Fear, yeah, that's a good one. Great one. So I'm going to actually ask Corey to come up. And Corey just talked. And if Lillian comes in the door, somebody grab her by the back of the collar and drag her up here, because she's supposed to talk and she knew she was. But I think she's finding a way out of it. So I want us to rank these, Corey. I want you to rank them in your own perspective, like faith, hope, and love. Obviously, Paul says love is the greatest of them. I don't think anybody would argue, but which one is hardest for you out of these three?
Love is the deepest, because it basically encompasses all of them. I think faith, for most of us, is probably the hardest, and for me too, because you have to basically, it's love in action.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking the step from having that love in your heart to taking action on that love.
Have any other thoughts?
Hope is the hardest one for me to define, actually. I think faith kind of is really similar to hope.
Yeah. Why?
In my mind. Because it's about the future.
Right.
It's about things unknown.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But your latest messages around clothing yourself in love, those are practical messages around just being able to have that in your heart. That makes it simpler, I think, in a lot of ways, for me at least.
Yeah. So that's it. All right, let's pray. Now you know what I go through every week. I sit in my little office in there and go, okay, how do I explain faith? Right? Hope and love. The greatest of these is love. I'm going to read this passage to you, and we're going to like let the scriptures speak to us, and then I'm going to allow you to share even beyond that a little bit if you want to. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's take a look at this. Starting with verse 1, I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's a short little blog, I promise. It's not that long. But take a look at this. He says, this is Paul. He says, and he's speaking to the church of Corinth, which is, by the way, a city that is on its way. It's a port, it's a port city on the road to Rome. So it's a place where all these goods come in, and I'll talk about that here in a second. But I want you to get that in mind right away. The church that exists in Corinth is a church that is a part of a Mecca, a melting pot of people, okay? And you can imagine the nightlife in this town. You know, it's much like that. So take a look at this. It says, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and the angels, but didn't love others. Everybody say, but didn't love others. Key point. I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I could understand, if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains. Now, just, I want you to think literally for a second. Just those few verses. If you knew somebody that had all the languages of the earth, they could speak every dialect, every language on the planet, is that somebody that you might follow? Somebody that you might listen to? Somebody that you might look at and go, you know what? They are brilliant. Somebody who has the ability to understand languages and all the languages of the earth, they have something special, right? How about somebody that actually had the gift of prophecy? And so if you didn't grow up in church, gift of prophecy is literally doing this. It's saying, God, I hear what you're saying for Corey. I'm going to give Corey this word that you told me to give Corey, and it's going to impact Corey's life. You know who has a gift of prophecy is my father-in-law, who sits right over here, and I don't know if you've heard him. Every now and then, he just starts barking out these words. Church! And he starts like talking to the church. That is actually, as he is in the service, he is listening to the voice of God, and he feels like there is a word that he is intended to give to the church. How encouraging is that when you hear it? It's amazing. But somebody with gift of prophecy, somebody with a gift of language, you would like look at them and go, man, they have some special gift. I got to follow them. So keep that in mind. If I gave everything that I had, think about that practically. You literally sold everything you had and gave it to the poor. That's a pretty powerful person in my mind. I would look at their life and I would say, wow, what made them do that? I want what they have. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, thank you to our military service members, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained absolutely nothing. Absolutely, I put in there. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Does not demand its own way. How many of you heard this at a wedding? This is what we read at weddings all the time. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And then he goes on again. He starts talking about prophecy again. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, when the time of perfection, so that time when we actually leave this place, leave this earth, and we enter into the heavenlies, and we get to hear this one angel singing this song, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, and she never stops or he never stops singing it for eternity, and you're not even bothered by that. That's when you know you have arrived there. Until that day of perfection. So he's saying that. He says, in that time of perfection, these partial things, these gifts that we focus on sometimes, will become useless. My gift of preaching is useless when I get to heaven. My father-in-law's gift of prophecy is useless when he gets to heaven. All these things, everything that we see here, is just an expression of who we are here, that God is actually working in us. But it was never supposed to stop there. It was actually supposed to transform not only our life, but the people next to us. If love, faith, hope, and love does not come into you and out of you to change people's lives, it's not changing you. Because if it truly changes you by God's grace, it actually will change people around you. They will see it in you. They will be affected by it. Your actions will literally be the voice and the power of God. And it's not something you will choose to do. It's just something that will actually naturally come out of you. That's why it's so hard to explain. So, important to understand, Corinth is like this city on its way to Rome. Melting pot society. In fact, it's kind of like a Vegas moment. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. Well, what was happening in Corinth didn't just stay in Corinth. It actually started to stay within the church. And so what was happening in this moment was everybody was desiring all these like mystical powers and gifts that were coming from all kinds of cultures and subcultures from around the world. They were all coming in. There was magic and sorcerers. There was all kinds of these amazing powers. And suddenly the church is in this place where they're saying, not only do I just want God, but I want all these powers. I want to be able to interpret. I want to be able to do certain things that makes people look at me and go, wow, God is really in him. How many of you guys have been in a church that focused on the supernatural? Like that was kind of the thing that they really dialed into all the time. Like there might have been holy laughter. There might have been speaking in tongues. There might have been, it felt like chaos to you. How many of you grew up or lived, was in a church at some point or been a part of that at some point? When we focus only on the gift, we lose the power of what the gift was intended for. And it's for transformation. It's for transformation. So Paul's saying all these things, prophecy, tongues, wisdom, knowledge, teaching, leadership, discernment, mercy, all those, he goes, they're really important, but they mean nothing when you get to heaven. So don't just focus on those things. Focus on what those things will do to transform people's lives, because that is what matters. That's the goal. The spiritual gifts are just this expression that God has actually moved into your life. But the spiritual gift is intended to be the thing that actually comes out of you and into people's lives for a part of transformation. So here's the verse I wanted to read. This is the most important part. It says, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see these things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. It's so powerful. It says three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Why is it that the things that Paul would say, these are the most important, nothing else matters? Nothing has greater importance than these three things. Why would it be that the three things he calls to be the most important thing be the hardest to attain, to describe, or to understand? So Corey, I still don't know if my daughter's in here. I think she really ditched us this morning. That's okay. What has been your experience? I'm just curious what your experience is with faith. Like maybe you, was there a moment that you understood faith? So you ranked them. What was your rank?
Love, faith, and hope.
So love was, okay, here's.
In terms of.
Yeah, actually, here's how I wanted to do it. I wanted to do it this way. Like what is the easiest to attain for you? And what is the hardest for you to attain out of those three? If you rank them in that order. So what's the easiest to you? I'm not saying it's like totally easy. I'm saying that you still struggle with it, but at the same time, it's easier than those other two.
Right.
What is it?
The answer has actually shifted as I've thought about it, like depending on the examples that you give.
Yeah.
The example of the scripture that you just read of giving up all your possessions for the poor. Like that's like to me from an attitudinal perspective, like the love in my heart that I have from God, I would want to do that. But from a faith perspective, I'm like, what about my family? Are we going to have what we need after I give?
Oh, man.
You know, so the faith,
that's when it gets real.
Is the toughest one, right? Because you're really moving that way. But in terms of, to answer your first question, though, I think those are the three that are important because they speak to your heart. And I think that's what Paul was saying in the first part of that scripture is that, you know, you might use these tools like prophecy or other things that are definitely tools of God, but at the same time, it's about the motivation and what's in your heart as a reason for why you're, you know, sharing that. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes it hard because it's got to permeate your heart and your soul and your mind, you know. And so I guess, you know, the way I think about it overall is you get sort of mind knowledge about certain things and you think you know it, and then
it's a blog post.
You go, wow, that just hit my heart like a ton of bricks. And now I really know it, and it's inside of me. But it's hard to distinguish those two things sometimes when you're thinking about, you know, not just faith, love, and hope, but those three things are definitely included in that.
So which one would you say is the easiest?
I'd say, you know, there's two answers to that. One is love incorporates all of them, so it's in that way it's the hardest because if you truly have love, then you're going to be able to, you know, do all those things. But at least in my own heart, I feel like love is the easiest to feel like you're talking about Abba's child. Mm-hmm. I feel accepted. I feel God's love. Am I able to always
step forth in that love and in faith the way I'd like to? No, not always. But I always generally feel God's love. And I think part of that's from my own testimony of a few years ago. I felt true despair, and I ultimately, you know, came to know again God's depth of love for me. And I'll never let go of that again. So
right. Anybody else have a thought? This is your week to just shout it out. What's the hardest for you? What's the easiest for you? Are all these pretty much equal?
Sometimes hope is really hard in our world. It's easy to look at what's going on around you and say how can that ever turn out good?
Yeah, how many of us watch the news, and when you're done watching the news you just go, I just feel so encouraged. Right? But yet we watch the news, and we keep watching the news. There's so much darkness around us, right? Here's what's crazy about that for me, and I feel like God, over the last few days, God has just given me this sort of like a word picture, really. And that is like literally that when God's faith, when his hope and his love is achieved or somehow achieved on our part by reaching for it from somebody else, somewhere on the outside. So when it's from the outside in, it actually becomes, we become fragile beings because of it. But when it truly changes you inside and moves out, you become resilient. You become faithful. You become hopeful. You become that person that is known because they are known for the love that they have been giving over and over, and it doesn't matter who they run into contact with. So when it is an outside-in love, you actually, and we actually, become fragile beings. But when it is an inside-out love, it actually becomes resilient. So what's resilient? Not you. Faith, hope, and love in you. That Paul would say in Galatians 5:6 that nothing else matters. This is the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love, and he kind of skips the hope piece. But if we are constantly, and I would just say this, if we're constantly searching for love from an outside perspective, I think love, how many of us, like, love is one of the things that early on, maybe early on in your life, was one of those things you wanted in your life. You wanted your parents to love you. You wanted your brothers and sisters to love you. You wanted someone to love you. In fact, I think this is probably the biggest hiccup in everybody's lives. I just got an email yesterday of a woman who basically just said this very thing. I've spent my whole life trying to find somebody who will love me, only to find that I'm empty. You see, if we look for faith, so here's the thing. If you come into this church looking for faith because of something that I say, you will probably become fragile because of that. Because what I give is not always going to be perfect in nature. Even my words, my theology can actually sometimes be off, right? Because of my own experiences. But that has to be your theology. It has to be something that you own. It has to be something that you begin your faith on. And if it's begun on somebody else's words, other than Christ's words, it can't be true faith. Hope is the same thing. If you're looking for hope in somebody else to give to you, you become a fragile being. If you look for love in somebody else giving to you, you become a fragile being. But if you look to the one who founded faith, hope, and love, the three things, the most important things, you cannot live without these things. If you get those from Jesus, you become resilient. You become full of faith, full of hope, and a person who can't help themselves but to love people. This is what happens to us. And so this inside-out relationship, here's what I want you to understand, makes you a safer person to be in relationship with. If you experience faith, hope, and love from the inside, you become a safer person to be in relationship with because you are like spiritual Teflon rooted in the power and the presence of Jesus Christ inside of you. There is something inside of you. There is a spirit-made person inside that's transformed your soul that suddenly becomes faith, hope, and love to everybody else. If you spend your whole life trying to achieve it, you've actually found religion. But if you spend the rest of your life accepting it, you have found faith, hope, and love. It's simple and so complex all at the same time. In fact, religion, somebody just said this the other day and I quoted it and I thought, man, this is so powerful. That religion is a cruel lover. Religion's a cruel lover because it'll force you to try to achieve love. It'll force you to try to behave yourself your way into love. It'll force you. There are marriages that are built around achievement rather than acceptance. That's why this passage is, you go back and look at it. My dad gave me this, and I don't know where he got it. I think he stole it from somebody else, but it was in a wedding that as early on in my ministry career, I said, Dad, give me something. Give me some message notes for a wedding. I need to start somewhere. And he gives me this. And it's the only thing that I have kept out of his notes. The rest of it wasn't that good. I'm kidding. I think I used all of it. But he said in there, he said, if you take the passages where it says love is patient, love is kind, and you actually take the word love or any pronoun of love and you put your name in there, how difficult would be that? It'd be to understand it or live that out. So Donnie is patient and kind. Corey is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Just ask his family, right? Corey doesn't demand his own way. Donnie is never irritable. He keeps no record of wrong. He does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Donnie and Corey never give up. Donnie and Corey never lose faith. Donnie and Corey are always hopeful. Donnie and Corey endure every single circumstance. So how hard is that? It's almost like we have to read that and go, I can't achieve that. You know what the good news is? You can't. That's the best news. You can't achieve it. So you have to bet, you have to ask Christ to transform you from the inside out. Thank goodness we have a Savior that says, I actually came to help. Remember that question? What can I do to help? That was Jesus coming in saying, I have faith, hope, and love. You'll never understand it without me. So this is what I want to do to help you. I want to put faith, hope, and love in you. I want faith, hope, and love to not just be something that's in you, but it transfers from you. That when I and Corey have true faith, it was intended to be transferable in relationship. When we have true hope, it's meant to be transferred in relationship. When we have true love, that love is intended to be transferred through relationship. It was never something to be indulged in, but something to give away. So hard to explain. So hard to live out, but thank you for Jesus, right? Amen? Anything else? Go ahead. He's got it on now.
I've talked about this before is sort of in the moment to moment, and it relates to one of the songs we sang earlier, is just the mere breathing that we do. Breathe his love in. It starts with him. Share his love out on your out breath. It's like moment to moment, being able to incorporate that into.
I say
your
it's spiritual. It's spiritual mouth to mouth reciprocation. Right, that's what it is. It is. What did I just say?
Your
same thing. Look up the word. Reciprocation is I reciprocate my breath. It's the same thing. Don't laugh at me. You want to come up here and be vulnerable? I'm just kidding.
I think it was good, Donnie.
Did you like it? I was just throwing a twist on it. I'm
a
wordsmith.
It was a creative expression.
I just make stuff up as I go. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, but as they come up, It's interesting you gave that analogy, the breathe in, breathe out. I'm going to pick on somebody for a moment, and that person's on the back row, and she's talking to her mother right now, and her name's Amanda. Amanda, the other night on the worship night, she came up here totally spontaneously, like with her baby in hand, not in hand, but in some sort of like sling. And she brought this little baby, beautiful baby girl up here, and she just started to sing. And then at one point she prayed, and I don't know when that happened, but Amanda prayed this prayer that basically said, Corey, exactly what you just said. She started praying that God would actually fill us, fill us, fill us, and all these things that she started praying. And then she said, now we just return it back to you. So I'm going to ask, Amanda, I'm putting you on the spot. Would you mind coming up and just praying as we close this time out and we go into a final worship song together, that God would set our hearts ablaze with this faith, hope, and love in some way, shape, or form? Would you pray? And I'll even hold the mic for you. By the way, she is unbelievably gorgeous, this little baby girl. And we're so blessed to have children in our church and that God is breathing new life into our church. But this is what he wants to do in us. This is an example of her prayer, legitimately, that God would plant a seed in this young woman and in her husband and in their life, that she would take that and she would grow that and she would give life to it and she would nurture it and she would give that life away. Like, legitimately, that's what you will do someday. It's one of the hardest things ever. But will you pray for us?
First, I just want to say, since I've had her, I've had trouble controlling my thoughts because my brain's just everywhere. And so my brain will take like a word and just go over and over with it till it just drives me crazy. So I decided that each time a word got stuck in my head that I didn't want in my head, I would say a scripture. And the scripture that the Lord gave me was, in you we live and move and have our breath.
That's what you prayed the other night.
Yeah. And so anytime I get like a word that's driving me crazy, I just say, in you we live and move and have our breath, and it'll stop. And so I'm just going to start with that. Lord, in you we live and move and have our breath. You are our very breath. You are our everything. You're the reason that we were created and born. You give us purpose. You give us life. And you breathe out life through us. And Lord, even if we deny you, every breath that we breathe is saying your name. So we just breathe right now. We just breathe your life and we breathe your breath, and it is your presence. And as far as we try to run from you, you're inside us, you're breathing through us. So right now, we just take a deep breath. And we feel you.